Hello, everyone, and welcome to Lennox Crazy Podcast. This is podcast number 82, and I hope everyone's getting along well. I have been procrastinating doing a podcast. Just the other day, I was thinking to myself, well, man, I might as well just stop doing these podcasts. And then I started thinking to myself, well, that's just being a quitter, you know, and you can't be a quitter. So I was trying to think of some kind of topic to talk about in this podcast, and that was just perfect. Motivation. How can we stay motivated to go ahead and continue to do the things that we set out to do? And the main thing I have to try to do is to make the podcast enjoyable and not like work. So I have been trying to come up with the interviews, but a lot of times that's a little bit hard because you have to be able to deal with rejection. So you can't have a thin skin. You have to have pretty thick skin because you're going to get, people just don't feel like doing interviews a lot of the times. One of the big reasons is a lot of people that, are involved in Linux and involved in computers are, I don't know if this is true for what percentage or not, but a lot of people are kind of like me that just like to be left alone. I enjoy working with people over the internet. I enjoy working and talking to people on IRC. But really, that's kind of superficial. It's not really, they don't really know every little detail about me. So I think sometimes when I ask people for interviews, it's almost like, you know, I'm getting a little bit too personal. And the other thing is sometimes people just don't want to feel like that they sound stupid. I know me, I'm the same way. When I first started out doing these podcasts, I did a lot of, ums and ands and breaks and so far. And it's hard to keep my mind organized in order to say complete sentences and sound like somebody that's on CNN News, because that's just not me. I never talked like that in my life. I've always kind of been like a bumbler, babbler. You know, I kind of, my mind races sometimes, and the thought that I have in my mind right now goes away and a new thought comes in before I have a chance to finish the last piece of my conversation. I've already moved on. I think they call this a scatterbrain. Well, I think I'm definitely a scatterbrain. I have to really slow down and organize my thoughts before I really say anything, because it's liable to come out completely different than the way that I intended it to come out. That's why a lot of times for me, and I think a lot of people in the IT field, people that enjoy working with machines, enjoy working with electronics, enjoy doing coding, enjoy working, making websites, people that do stuff that we like to do feel a lot more comfortable using, writing stuff down and actually seeing it on the screen or on paper, so it's something we can actually put our finger on and we can fix and we can alter and we can edit before it's a done deal. As far as communication is concerned, my big problem is I can't do that. You know, I've already said what I've said. It's already a mistake, and I can't just patch it up and fix it before. Now, I can doing these podcasts with Audacity. So that's a big help with the podcast because I can actually edit it. One of the big problems that I've run across in doing screencasts, I really enjoy doing the screencasts. In fact, I was getting ready to do one instead of this podcast. I was going to do a screencast on Midnight Commander and Vim. And then I realized, well, I had just done one maybe 6 months ago or so. But I've actually, in the last 6 months, I've gained a lot more knowledge and experience with Midnight Commander and Vim. So this one would probably be better than the last one. And also, you just, the more you do, the better you get. So each time you do one, it improves a little bit, thank goodness. So, but as I was doing this screencast, I made a couple small mistakes. And I went to edit it. And really, the only editor that I'm a little bit familiar with is PITIVI, and it's a basic video editor that you can cut tracks and put tracks together and edit tracks and stuff like that. I have gotten so far as to be able to remove stuff. Like if I say something really stupid, I can remove it. But I'm really not very proficient in it. So in order to do really professional screencasts, I really need to become way more knowledgeable in using video editing software. Now, I know there's some more advanced video editors out there. I guess Kino is one of them. And there's some others. But first, I got to be able to at least become proficient with the basic ones before I could move on to the more advanced ones, I would think. But a lot of times, I just don't have the time or the motivation. Here we go back to the motivation. The best way for me to become motivated is really just to take a few tasks and then go from there. I get myself too stretched out, and what happens is I get too many projects going and I never really complete any of them because either there's not enough time in the day or my motivation for that particular project wanes. And what happens is this is just a lot of wasted time then. You know, each one of these little projects that I start and then I never finish is basically just spinning your wheels and wasting time. Now, you do learn a little bit in the process, but I'm almost like a perfectionist as far as I like when I start something, I want to finish it and I want to become pretty proficient at it. Otherwise, I lose interest and lose motivation. And another big problem with my motivation is that if I can't do something very well, then I really want to lose motivation because I want the easy way out and I just want to quit. So here what I've been trying to do, and I try to keep focused on, is take a few projects and then try to keep up with them and continue that to the end. My current projects that I'm basically working on now is one is in the long term, I want to become a full-time Gentoo developer. But in my opinion, my skills are still lacking in a few different areas, mainly in Bash and mainly in just the overall way Linux works. When you're compiling programs from source and you have to work with GCC, you have to work with libtool, you have to work with autotools, you have to work with CMake, you have to work with a bunch of, it's a very, very, very lot of different ways that programs are installed, and you need to be a little bit proficient with all of them or at least understand the process. The only way that I'm going to get any better is just to keep at it. So one of the ways that I started was had a call for help for x86 testers. And what x86 Arch testers do is they, before packages go stable, they'll go ahead and test them and make sure they work. So in that process, I get to test out a lot of different packages. And also get to experience when they fail. And when they fail, then I can take the time and do a little work and see if I can find out a fix for it. And this has been rewarding. This is my biggest part of the working with Linux and working with Gentoo that I enjoy. I enjoy fixing bugs. I enjoy something not working just right and investigating it and getting it to work correctly or finding a fix for it. When I first started using Linux, it was one of the biggest joys that I had was when you had something, let's say like a printer that wouldn't work, and you went on the forums or you went on Google and you searched around, and finally you came up with a way to get that particular printer to work. And when all said and done, you feel really good, and that really helps your motivation to keep going. So this is one of the main things that I enjoy doing, is finding problems, investigating a problem, and finding a fix for it, and then having the fix work, and then you feel good about the whole deal. It's a complete cycle. It goes from the start to the finish with a conclusion, and it's not halfway done. It's not one of them ones, those projects sitting on the shelf that you got three quarters of the way done. So I guess this all ties in with instant gratification. I've always been a big fan of instant gratification. If something can make me feel good in a short term, real fast, without a whole lot of work, I'm usually for it. And that can get you in trouble, too. So I've been doing the x86 testing, and that's been going along well. And also, you get some pats on the back. The other developers appreciate you going in there and investing the time to work on that. And that's cool. The other thing that I've been doing for a while now is I've been helping out. There's a developer called Tove that pretty much single-handedly took on the enormous task of getting Perl up to date in Gentoo. The Perl herd had pretty much just stopped doing anything. Most of the people, either they left the Gentoo project or they're become busy in their other activities, work, personal life, whatever. So the poor Perl herd was down to one developer, and the one developer wasn't doing very much because he just didn't have the time. And so Perl just kept falling further and further and further behind. Perl was at 5.88, and there was, I must have been 500 bugs that were open for Perl. And it wasn't getting fixed. So Tove pretty much single-handedly just started picking away at it. And his motivation has been tenuous because, you know, if you're the only one that's doing anything and nobody's helping you, it's like, well, why even bother, you know? So I saw the need to do something. So I figured, well, maybe there's something I can do to help out. So I just started looking at the Perl bugs and doing the best I can to try to help out. And also I wanted to try to help Tove stay motivated. If there was any way that my little contribution would at least make him feel like that it's all worthwhile, I thought maybe I could do my part. And in the process, there's some other people that have jumped in and helped. There was always a few other users that were helping out, but they're not Gentoo developers. They don't have commit access, so they weren't able to really do the fixes completely and also take the responsibility. So, you know, Tove has a lot of responsibility for all these bug fixes and all these changes and all these packages that he's putting on the tree. You know, ultimately, he's listed as under Perl, but it's got up the top, it's got in the header, it's got Tove, so people know that, well, hey, Tove was the one that committed this package or this revision or this update or this bug fix, so he's the one that's kind of responsible. So that can be daunting when you're the only one, you know, responsible. So in my little part, I'm a staff developer, so that gives me access to Bugzilla as far as being able to change bugs, edit bugs. I'm able to put in for stable requests. There's a lot of things that I can do to stay busy without being a full developer. So that's another project that I've kind of started helping out with, and that's been very rewarding. I've been able to learn a lot about working with eBuilds, working with the Bugzilla, I've been able to learn about upstream, working with upstream, and I've been able to learn about how to work with other developers. Toe's been a real big help. He's also my mentor for the to become a full Gentoo dev. So that has been very rewarding. Anytime I've got a question, I ask him. A lot of times you don't want to ask a question unless it really starts getting to me. I'm hard-headed. I like to try to see if I can't figure it out for myself. And also, I have a big problem with remembering stuff. So if I figure it out for myself, I'm more apt to remember it. If somebody just tells me something, and I'm more apt to forget it. Not because I disregard what they're telling me, it's just because it doesn't sink in as much as when, you know, I actually do the work and figure it out for myself. It's just like, you know, if you're digging a ditch and you earn $5, you're going to be a lot more careful of where you spend that $5. If somebody just gives you $5, you're just liable to go down to the store and buy anything. So, all right. So the Pearl Herd, now that's helped me stay motivated, and that keeps me pretty busy. I mean, you can always go and check out the Pearl Bugs. Right now, the Pearl Bugs are down to, I'm thinking around maybe 150, 200, 150 or 200. And a lot of the bugs are real old that probably will never get fixed. Or a lot of them are new bugs that are there because of getting ready to try to get Pearl 5.12 eventually stabilized. It's getting pretty close. Tove's done a lot of work in that regard as far as figuring out what all needs to be done to get Pearl 5.12.1 stabilized. And I think it's going to happen pretty soon. Right now, I'm using it. I don't have any trouble with it at all. So you just have to run Pearl Cleaner all. Pearl Cleaner space double dash all. And so it'll rebuild all your Pearl modules that you have installed. Otherwise, you'll have breakage all over the place. And all of this is explained. But a lot of times people forget to read the little messages or read their logs at the end of their emerges. And then they wonder why everything's broken. Well, everything's broken because, guess what? You didn't follow the directions. And with Gentoo, it's not a distribution like, you know, everybody uses this example like Ubuntu, but it really is not a distribution like Ubuntu or a more normal distribution, Linux distribution for the masses that, you know, you can install it. It kind of does all the background work for you. Gentoo is you have to be your own little administrator, system administrator on your own little system to run Gentoo because you're constantly going to be doing stuff if you keep it up to date. Now, you can install Gentoo. I had this laptop that I just sold, and I had it over at work for like 3 years, and I installed Gentoo on it, and I got everything on it like I wanted. I got, Firefox, I got Thunderbird, I got whatever, all the programs I wanted on it, MPlayer, XChat, you know, all the programs that I use, all the drivers for my webcam, for my USB mouse, for my microphone, whatever. I had it all set up so it would work for just about anything that I had or anything I wanted to do. I took it to work and didn't do anything to it. Never upgraded it. Left it exactly the same for 3 years. It worked flawlessly for that whole 3 years. Never ran Emerge Sync. Never updated. Never did anything to it. So, pretty stable system, I'd say. Now, I'm sure there was some security stuff that came through that I was definitely not up to date security-wise, but I wasn't really doing anything on the laptop either. Now, I did change one program. I installed it as x86, and I could update Firefox. I would just install the binary Firefox from the Firefox site, not even go through Gentoo with it. So Firefox was up to date. So I think most of the security stuff for the web was okay since I was using the latest, greatest Firefox all the time. But all the other stuff, I never did anything with, and it worked fine. Now, I just now recently retired that laptop. In fact, I sold it on eBay because I put a desktop system in. All right, I can talk about that later. Now let's get back to this motivation. How do we stay motivated? All right, so that Pearl is helping me stay motivated because in my mind I'm helping out Tove and helping out Gen 2. And I sure hope Tove keeps going, and I really hope there's another developer. He's not a Gen 2 developer, but he is a developer, Kent, and he's been helping out here a lot lately with Pearl. I'm hoping he goes ahead and continues. And his motivation stays up enough that he'll continue to become a full developer. And then he can go ahead and commit to the tree and that and really help out Tove and maybe get Pearl back as a, you know, active herd or active project. I've never said anything to Tove about it, but it would be nice if he would go ahead and take over as the lead. But for whatever reason, maybe he doesn't want to do it, and it's not my job to even say anything to him, but in the back of my mind, and it would really be nice. He's an excellent developer. He's nonstop doing stuff, and he's just great to work with, and he's a big, big, big asset to Gen 2. All right, let's see. What else have I been doing? The next big thing is that I've been helping out with is I've been helping out with the live DVD. Now, I helped out before with the live DVD when we did the live DVD 10.0. And that's enjoyable because I work with Like Wo. And Like Wo's a lot of fun to work with. He uses Catalyst and his own scripts to put together the live DVD. And we've been doing this for now, I don't know how long, probably a year and a half, maybe a year. And the latest releases we're trying to get out by the end of this year. And it's actually working now. It's moved from base layout 1 to base layout 2 here just recently. And so that's created a few bugs. And it'll keep you busy, the live DVD. What happens is we get a new release and I'll go ahead and test it and fix bugs. A lot of them are just simple bugs to fix that certain functions have to be redone. They're just little bash functions that have to be redone that aren't current, that are old from the old live CD tools that were way back from the day when they were putting together the install CD. And a lot of them aren't current now for, as you can imagine, with the latest OpenRC or Base Layout 2, plus a lot of other stuff. You know, when packages get updated, configuration changes from the old way of doing things to the new way of doing things. So all this stuff needs to be redone. Here just recently, the Live CD Tools package has been moved to a Git repo, and there's a few more developers that are going to start getting involved on it. One of them is William H. He's currently a maintainer for OpenRC, so he has a lot of knowledge of OpenRC. He can help with incorporating the live CD tools with the OpenRC. If we can all just keep Like Wo motivated, here we are back to motivated again. There's another now. Like Wo is just a user, longtime Gen 2 user that's just been helping out with this live DVD here for about a year or so, and we're all hoping that he will go ahead and become motivated enough to become a full Gen 2 developer. He definitely has all the skills. All you'd have to do is just take a little time to do the end quiz. The e-build quiz and the end quiz, and he shouldn't have any trouble with it. If I was able to do them, then I think just about anybody can if they just spend enough time doing it. If you don't know something, you can research it, and just about all the answers are somewhere on the internet, or you can ask your mentor any of the questions that you can figure out. You can figure them out, and he'll have a big advantage over me because he already understands a lot of this stuff, whereas I was pretty much just a newbie, you know, at all of this. So, you know, I had to kind of start from scratch. So if we could get him motivated to go ahead and take over the, I don't know what herd it's going to be, but maybe they can create their own project. Maybe their project could be recreated for these live DVDs. The big advantage of the live DVD is that it actually gives a release to Gen 2. Now, Gen 2 doesn't officially have a release because you don't need to have a release. The way Gen 2 works is that you install Gen 2 from a boot medium, which it can be a USB stick or a CD, and then you go ahead and install Gen 2 onto your hard drive. The actual install CD is just something to give you an environment in order to chew root over into your hard drive to actually do the real install. So your install is current that day. So there is no need for a release. It's called a rolling release. In other words, it's current just as soon as you install it. So there's really no need to keep having, you know, updates all the time as far as a install. Now, what is updated with auto builds is the actual CD, the little minimal install CD. And what this does, it gives you a current kernel and the current tools so that newer hardware will boot up and so forth, and also will work with the current packages that you're going to be installing. So that is updated, and the stage is updated. So a stage is basically all the current packages for a base system. So what you'll do is you boot up the live CD, which is just giving you the kernel basically and a medium in order to work with, and then you chew root over to your partitions that you've created on your hard drive, and you go ahead and you download this stage 3, which is actually just the base system, and therefore there you update it, and then from there you go on and install whatever you want. Either it be for someone like me, I install GNOME, you know, in my basic packages I work with. Someone else might want KDE, someone else might want XFCE, someone else might want Fluxbox, or whatever. So you basically build your own little Linux distribution from the base Gen 2 install. So, but what these live DVDs do is we can say live DVD, let's say we put one out in 2011, we could call it, let's say, live Gen 2 live DVD 2011, and go ahead and put that up to DistroWatch and put that up to Linux Crazy Forums and put that up to whatever for PR. Public relations, it's a gold mine because it creates all this interest. Whoa, people go, hey, did you hear Gen 2 released their 2011 DVD? And what it does is it showcases all of the cool Gen 2 stuff, how well everything works together, compiled from source. We'll have our little fancy wallpaper. We'll have our own little fancy themes. We'll have the Gen 2 icon all over the place. We'll have maybe some custom music, login theme, you know, whatever we want to do with it. And people get to see Gen 2, all the latest packages. It'll have, say, KDE 4.5. It'll have GNOME 2.30, or maybe when GNOME 3.0 comes out, you know, stuff like that. So it's great for public relations. And also another thing I like about it is that I try to work really close with the accessibility. This being maybe a person that's blind or hearing, I mean, or visually impaired, wanted to maybe try thinking about trying Linux or whatever. This way they could boot up the live DVD and get SpeakUp working and actually, you know, have something that they could work with. So. And it could also be used to install Gen 2. You could boot this live DVD up and go ahead and do your install. And in the meantime, you'd have a full working desktop with the latest KDE and the latest Firefox. And you could go on IRC and ask questions and stuff like that. So to me, I think it's important. And hopefully we can get really involved, become a full dev, make a little project out of it, and keep it going year in and year out. I'm not going anywhere unless I pass on to my next medium. So I'll be here to help out as much as I can. I think it's a very important project. Let's see, what else have I been doing? I volunteered to help out to OpenRC. I could do a little bit of bug fixing or something, but they really don't need my help now. They're doing the heavy lifting as far as the heavy C coding, merging it from base layout 1 to base layout 2 and, you know, all that. So it's this is definitely over my head. There's not really a whole lot there for me to do as yet. And then with my public relations work, now that keeps me busy. Right now, I'm currently running the Larry the Cow graphic contest. I'll put a link on LanceCrazy.com for this. It's pretty interesting. Larry the Cow is the Gentoo mascot, and it's pretty funny because whoever made up the mascot at the beginning, the mascot's name's Larry, but it has an udder, you know, for milk. So Larry's not really exactly sure if he's a man, if he's male or female. I'm not sure what cows. I'm not sure if cows are considered. Yeah, I guess they're considered males and females. Yeah. So I'm not sure. So poor Larry's not doesn't really know if he's male or female. But anyhow, it's kind of our mascot, Larry. And you'll see some logos of him around. But there's not too many. So I wanted to put together this contest, and Nettie Segun from the foundation, Gentoo Foundation, and the trustees suggested it to generate some, you know, logos and interest in Larry. And we got together on the trustees. I'm a member of one of the trustees. We got together, and the trustees approved it, that if anybody, whoever comes up with the graphics, Larry graphics, the top three finishers will get 3 t-shirts with their graphics included on the t-shirt at whatever size they want. And this is from Cafe Press. Now, I've bought some stuff from Cafe Press. I buy Gentoo t-shirts and everything from Cafe Press, and I don't have any trouble from them. Some people complain, but everything I've gotten has been nice. I mean, it's good t-shirts. They're all Hanes t-shirts. You just have to make sure you get the right size and stuff. Seems like sizes have gotten smaller too, because I use it extra large. I still use an extra large, but they're not like, you know, in the old days it seemed like extra large was, I mean, extra large. But I weigh a little bit more than I did way back then, so that might have something to do with it too. So currently doing Larry the Cow graphics contest. That just started, and I'm hoping I get some entries. I put the contest to go for 3 months. So I'm hoping within 3 months, because it'll take somebody maybe a month or a few weeks to come up with something. So I'm hoping that by 3 months that, you know, I'll get some pretty good entries for Larry. And see, I'm still studying Bash. I'm still Python. I'm still, you know, fool around Python a little bit. My main concern here lately has been, as far as this Gentoo developer stuff, is just working with Linux tools, not really Python, working with Linux tools, Bash, Fine, Sed, you know, Xargs, you know, all the Linux tools. So that all this stuff keeps me busy. And, you know, all of it I enjoy. As long as I enjoy it, I stay motivated. But like I said, for me, the motivation is taking one project, like as an example, this Larry's the Graphics contest, taking one little project from start and going ahead and seeing it to the end, and not getting myself all stretched out into little projects that I never, ever finish. So that helps me stay motivated. And also, with the podcast, what helps you stay motivated is people actually do email me and say they enjoy listening to the podcast. And this really does help. Just about the time you figure, well, shoot, man, ain't nobody listening to this podcast. Nobody cares. You know, you start feeling sorry for yourself. Why am I wasting all my time doing this podcast? Nobody gives a crap. Then you get an email. Somebody say, whoa, thanks, Dave. Man, I listened to your podcast and blah, blah, blah. So that helps. So I think I'll keep doing them. So, okay, everyone, I've rambled on way, way, way too much. I think I'm not even going to edit this podcast. I think I'm just going to send this podcast as is so you can hear all of my blundering, stumbling. See you soon. Bye-bye.